Heavenly Father, we love you today. Oh, how we love Jesus, our Savior. Help us never to not proclaim His name in this place. Help us to magnify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to take our stand on who Jesus Christ is. No matter what goes on in the world around us, help us in this place to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us never to turn from Him. Help us never to talk less of the blood or to alleviate the blood, but help us to magnify the work of Christ and what He has done for us. For you know the way that we are to go and the path that we're already to take. And you already know the obstacles and challenges before us as Christians in this nation and as those around the world. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us now to have faith in you, to have strength in you, to have your wisdom, to live a life that pleases you and not to defame your name or go back on our beliefs. Help us, dear Lord, in this hour to lift up the name of Christ, for it's in His name we pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Exodus chapter 2 is where we're at, and chapter 3. We're going to conclude this quarter with this lesson today, and then we'll pick it back up in a couple months, going back and studying this book, the book of Exodus. And as we have been in these two chapters, and literally these two portions of these two chapters for a number of weeks now, but there's so much here for a Christian. We just can't zoom by it when we're studying the Scriptures, an expository study, looking at the words and the phrases and what God has for us. There is so much here in these two chapters that we can learn not just from the Word of God, but we can learn from Moses, that the Lord can teach us through the examples of his life, his failures, as well as his successes. And we talked about in a couple weeks ago, we talked about a transforming change or a change that happened in Moses' life. And we talked about and started to lay some groundwork, what are some prerequisites towards that change. But now, today, I want to look specifically at that transforming change. We can see it quickly in Exodus 2, verse 11 and 12. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he's 40 years old at this point, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. We pick up the story at Moses at 40 years old as a murderer. That's where he is now at this age. He has murdered an Egyptian. And it wasn't God's will for him to do this because he is looking this way and that. He's hiding the body in the sand, hoping not to be discovered. This is out of his own mind, out of his own wisdom. So we see this portion of Moses. Then we skip over to verse 21 of chapter 2. And Moses was content to dwell with the man that he gave Moses for his wife. He's with Jethro, his father-in-law now, in the desert, the land of Midian. And now he's content to be a shepherd out in the middle of the wilderness after he has fled Egypt. So he's gone from being a murderer to now being a shepherd, content to be in the wilderness. And then we go over to chapter 14. Hold your place here. We'll be right back. Chapter 14 and verse 13. Notice, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. They're at the border of the Red Sea, ready to cross the Red Sea, but the Red Sea is still flowing. And the Egyptians are coming up behind them, and they're, what's going on? You've brought us out here to die just a few days' journey from Egypt, and now we're going to die at the border of the Red Sea. And Moses has faith in God. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Something's happened in this man's life. He's gone from being a murderer to someone fleeing from his life to being content in the wilderness just to keep the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And now he has led the people out, and they're at the border of the Red Sea, and he says, don't panic. Don't have fear. Don't fear what man can do unto you. Trust in the Lord. He could only say that because he is now trusting in the Lord. He now has faith in the Lord. A change has happened in his life. Go to chapter 33. of the book of Exodus. We're skipping over a lot of things just to look at a few verses here. Chapter 33 and verse number 11. Chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Oh my, something has occurred in Moses' life to transform him from a man that is conducting his life and his actions and his deeds through his own wisdom and his own strength to lead towards the murder of an Egyptian, to then fleeing for his very life, to now speaking with God face to face as a man does with his friend. Would you agree with me a change has happened in this man's life? It is a transforming change that has happened in his life. And for me, I want to know what that change was. So I think back to my early days. I didn't get saved till I was 19 years old, 18 years old. I didn't heard the gospel till I was 18 years old. And I think of those early years, how I was doing things out of my own mind and in my own strength and my own wisdom and my own actions. I was accountable to no one. And then I heard the gospel. And I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That was a change. That was a moment in my life that I received Christ and the Holy Spirit came in and dwelled within me and made me a new creature. That was a change. And then as you look at your own lives and you look at those early days before you receive Christ, and then you receive Christ, that is a watershed moment in your life. And from there, you're going to have multiple other watershed moments in your life. Those days that are like, wow, this really is a changing point in my life. And I can think of the call of God on my life. What a change that was. And then it took some time, but then the complete surrender. We know we talked about submission versus surrender. I had years of submission and yielding, but then that day came when I completely, totally surrendered to God. That was a change. And from those days, the growth and maturity in the Lord has occurred and is still occurring. I have not arrived, and I don't expect to arrive till Christ comes back to get me, and we go up into glory with a glorified body. But I should be transforming into the image of Christ throughout this life. If I stay as I was when I got saved, I'm not transforming. I'm not conforming. And how can God use me? Same with you. If you were saved yesterday or this week, then that's understandable, even this month. But if you've been saved for a number of years, how many people have been saved over 20 years in here? Yeah. If you can look at your life, there should be a transforming change, a conforming to the image of Christ. What does Christian mean? Christ-like, or little Christians, or little Christ. Christ-like, or little Christ. We are to exemplify Christ in our life today. So if you've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, more than that, your life should be transforming and conforming to the image of God. Moses had that change. In the first 40 years of his life, he was surrounded by the splendors of the world. Anything he could possibly dream of was at his fingertips. Egypt was at its heyday during this time. The next 40 years of his life were spent in the world of God's creation out in the desert. We don't hear of those 40 years. We hear of Moses in chapter 2 of verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he's 40 years old. He has lived 40 years in Egypt, being trained, as we saw in Acts chapter 7 weeks ago, and all the wisdom of and learning of the Egyptians. But then you come to chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he fled the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And then the Lord is going to come to him and speak to him through the burning bush. He is now 80 years old. 40 years have elapsed in the desert. And he is surrounded not by the splendors of the carnality of the world and the fleshly desires of the world. He is surrounded by God's creation. And God is speaking to him and teaching him through his leading of the flock of Jethro. He was educated in all the wisdom and learning of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds, it tells us in Acts chapter 7. But these 40 years in the desert, he was taught in all the wisdom of God. He was in the school of God. He was enticed in Egypt by the snares of the devil. He still utilizes these same snares today. What are they? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is his tactics. He might change some of the nuances of those tactics, but those are his tactics. And that's how he was tempting and enticing Moses in Egypt, in the wilderness. He was loved and cared for by God. God showed him his mercy and his forgiveness. And it tells us in chapter 2 and verse 21, Moses was content. He was content. He'd been forgiven by God. If he had not been forgiven by God, we wouldn't have chapter 3, the first 4 or 5 verses where God would call and put him into service and commission him. He was forgiven by God, and God's mercy and grace extended to Moses. So these snares held Moses for the first 40 years, and it culminated with his murdering an Egyptian. You know, James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." For the next 40 years, Moses lived in the land of Midian, content to be a husband, a father, and a shepherd. God was molding him and shaping him and teaching him in the desert. God's love and forgiveness kept Moses in the desert. Near the end of Moses' 80th year, or maybe even his 80th year, God appears to him in the burning bush to commission him, to call and to commission him into service. During these desert years, Moses has brought to an understanding, I believe, of humbleness, of submissiveness, of dependence on God, and contentment. Those are lessons God is teaching Moses these 40 years. You know, the desert is not a great place to see the grass grow to feed the sheep. Or sometimes the flash floods come and they wash out a riverbed, or they call them in the Bible a wadi, a W-A-D-I. They are places where they just wash out these flash floods and then the water's gone. So the shepherds constantly have to move his flock around finding the water holes and the grass that they can eat. He's learning that these are provided by God. He is learning dependence on God. All of these traits are helping mold him and transform him, and that he can be the leader to go and speak to Pharaoh and then lead the Egyptians, or lead the Israelites to Mount Sinai through the Red Sea. This transforming change. Prior to leaving Egypt, Moses was making decisions based on his own wisdom and the wisdom of the world, the wisdom that the Egyptians taught him. There's a preacher of days gone by, Theodore Epp, that said, "The lesson for each believer is to humble himself, not to wait for the Lord to humble him." Because if we don't humble ourselves, the Lord will humble us. We must learn that lesson quickly. We must learn to humble ourselves before the Lord humbles us. If we refuse to humble ourselves, he will humble us. We know what the Bible teaches about pride. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. After the burning bush, Moses was beginning to lean on God and follow his wisdom and his instruction. and one of my life verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Moses is learning that, to trust in the Lord. To begin the process of transforming, there must be an attitude in us and in Moses of humbleness, submissiveness, and dependence on God. Philippians 14, many people use Philippians 4:13 as their life verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This transforming change is where we learn the deep things of God and how to depend on Him and not ourselves. In Jeremiah 4:3, the Bible teaches us this principle of humbling ourselves. Or if we don't, God will humble us. In Jeremiah 4:3, it says, "For thus saith the Lord to men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." What causes this change or initiates it is a breaking up, a fallowing of the ground, a humbling of ourselves. Not a turning over of a new leaf, but to say, "Lord, I'm going to give you this and this and this. I'm going to give you all of me." A yielding to Him, but a surrender to Him. A humbleness saying, "It's not about me and what I can do. It's about what you can do through me." You know, before a house is built, the land first must be cleared. We can't build a house when all the trees are on the lot we want to build the house on. So to first build a house, we must clear the land. Before a foundation can be poured, the footers must be dug. Before crops can cover an entire field, the soil must be broken and turned. Do you follow me? There is a fallowing, a breaking. John 12:24, our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Do you want to bring back fruit or much fruit? Or do you even want to bring fruit? Every Christian should want to bring fruit. And every Christian should want to bring much fruit. And as Moses is in the wilderness and he's learning these lessons of God of submissiveness and surrender and humbleness and dependence on God, he is learning that he can't do this on his own. He can't do anything God wants him to do in his own strength. That's what we saw 2 weeks ago, the progression through the plagues of Egypt, where it was first Aaron speaking and casting the rod down, and eventually Moses stands up and begins speaking to Pharaoh face to face. He's beginning to depend on God and not his own strength and not his own wisdom. In our world today, there are broken things. Broken things are a norm in our life. If you own a house, you understand that. Broken things happen. As we grow up, we cry about our toys that we break. As we grow older, we think of broken promises and broken dreams. When we get older still, broken health, things at the house that get broken, our finances get broken. Broken things are a norm in our lives in this world. And to a person that is not a Christian or is not thinking like a Christian, they're trash. These broken things are just trash. Discard them, get rid of them. But when God breaks a Christian through health, through loss, through bereavement, through pain, through sickness, we could name a number of things of brokenness that the Lord allows in a Christian's life. Those things are not garbage. Those things are not to be discarded and forgotten. Those things, when it happens to a Christian's life, it is where God is preparing to use that person. How they come through that test of faith will ensure if God will take them the next step and use them. Romans 8:28, we know that all things, not just the good things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to God. according to His purpose. All things. It's hard to glory in the hard things. I don't see many Christians going around rejoicing in pain or rejoicing in death or rejoicing in loss of a job. But the Bible says we know all things work together for good. Let's look at the transforming process in Moses' life. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. We're just going to look at some specific words. Do you believe this is the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you believe this is the Word of God?
Amen.
I do. And I believe every word has been preserved for us today. I know that the originals were written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. But God would not have left His Word in those original languages and just left us alone, not knowing what His Word was. We have now translated for us in English that we can read it and memorize it and study it, God's Word. This is His Word. Preserved for us in the English language in the King James Version. Not the New King James. Not the New International Version, not the New American Standard Version, not the Revised Standard Version. You can put any name you want, any abbreviation you want. The King James Bible is the Bible that's translated from the appropriate text.
That's right.
This is the Word of God. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. So if we are to learn anything for us in this Christian life to help us, we must learn it from this book and only this book. So let's look at Moses' life. In Exodus 2, verse 11 and 12, we've read it before, but look with me. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses sees an injustice. One of the taskmasters or one of the Egyptians is beating one of his brethren. It's an injustice in his eyes, and he wants to correct it. Notice Moses' actions. Notice the verbs. It says in verse 11, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out into his brethren. He's associating himself with his people, the Israelites. And looked on their burdens. He saw their burdens. He spied an Egyptian. He zeroed in on one particular Egyptian that was being unjust to one of his brethren. He spied, the Word of God says. Verse 12 says, he looked this way and that. He looked. He's looking to make sure the coast is clear. He looked. And he goes on to say, and he saw that there was no man. He saw, so he's looking, and he saw it was close, the coast was clear. And then it says, he slew the Egyptian. And then it says, he hid him. Notice the actions of a man that is acting on his own strength, his own wisdom, his own rightness, his own righteousness, his own thoughts of what is right and what is wrong and how to correct it. I'm going to be the judge as well as the one that just sees what's going on. That's Moses without depending on God. Moses needs a transforming change in his life. Exodus 2, verse 13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him, thou did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Again, the next day he goes out, he sees another injustice. This time it's not an Egyptian against a Hebrew, it's a Hebrew against another Hebrew. And he goes to break it up. He's going to be the ruler and the judge, and he's going to just calm the situation down. Notice again, he went, he said, he heard, and then he's rebuked. These again are actions of a man or a person that is trying to conduct the affairs of the world in his own mind. what is right and wrong, and I'm going to carry out the sentence. No dependence on God. But then we go to 14, again the latter part. Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Moses has been rebuked, and now he's going to face persecution and affliction for his decisions. He feared, he fled, he dwelt, and he sat in the preceding verses. And we go to verse 21. Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Skip down to verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he fled. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Moses is now being blessed by God. What has happened? What has changed in his life? Chapter 2, verse 21. He learned how to be content. He learned that it wasn't all about him. He is learning. He hasn't learned it completely yet. We saw that a couple weeks ago. But he is learning to be content with what God has provided him. He has learned to be dependent on God. God's given him a wife. God has given him a son, and actually two sons. And God has given him a job. He is now a shepherd. And Moses was brought up in all the wisdom and learning of the Egyptians. You know what the Bible teaches us in Genesis, the latter parts of Genesis, about what the Egyptians thought of shepherds? They were an abomination in their eyes. And here is Moses being brought up in all the wisdom and learning of the Egyptians, now a shepherd. He submitted to what God has for him. He's humbled himself. He's content with where God has brought him. And then we go on, sake of time. He was content. He kept. He led. He came to the mountain of God. He spent 40 years in the desert of Midian as a shepherd, learning to depend on God and God's goodness. And then chapter 3, verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Moses now is being drawn to God. He looked. He said. He chose. He chose to turn aside. He chose, he turned, he responded to God. A transforming change is occurring in his life. Moses was being broken by God. It was breaking his pride. It was breaking his impulsive nature. It was breaking his self-righteous zeal to increase his faith and to prepare him for the next step God had for him. If Moses had not learned these lessons, he would never have been able to stand at the Red Sea and say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He would never have been able to stand on Mount Sinai and speak to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend. He is learning the process of transforming his life. The process is basically being broken, being comforted by God, being aware of God's presence, having faith in God, learning the instruction and knowledge of God, understanding the purpose and plan of God for your life, and then action to follow through in faith what God has for you. That's the process of a transforming change. So for 40 years, Moses was closer to the things of the world, but the last 40-some years of his life after they left Egypt, his life is broken into 40-year increments. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, 40 years in the wilderness. And really, the last 80 years of his life, he no longer desired the things of the world. He desired to be closer to God. He desired to be in the presence of God. Think of what went on in the wilderness. People start complaining. People start murmuring. People start going against God's man. Every time, what does Moses do but go to God? It just goes back to God. He desires to be in God's presence. The Moses of Exodus 2 would not want to be in God's presence. But a beginning where he learned the lesson of contentment in chapter 2, verse 21, through the next 4 or 5 chapters, he is learning of God to be content with where his is. What was the change? God humbled Moses and brought him to a place where he could learn to depend on him and desire to be with him. Do we desire to be with God? You know, now at this point, Moses understands God's will for his life. He was learning to live a separated life, a life of service. He was willing to submit and surrender to God. And through the instruction and patience and mercy of God, Moses finally surrendered to God's will and became a mighty man of faith. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 11 at what happened with Moses' life. Read the book of Exodus and how God mightily used Moses. During the years in the desert, Moses was being prepared and instructed through God's hand. It has been said that God alone can provide and prepare a true servant. Did you hear that? It has been said that God alone can provide and prepare a true servant. And the length of time needed for this preparation is up to God. It could take a lifetime. Moses' case, it took a number of years. Without this preparation and continual instruction, the servants of God would be barren and superficial in this life. And I'm afraid that's where we are today. We have superficial Christians. It's like a ship put to sea without a proper ballast. You know, the ballast in the bottom of the ship that keeps the ship afloat. It's like a ship put to sea without the proper ballast. It will capsize with one strong wave. Christians today, don't be that ship that doesn't have the proper ballast, because a strong wave's coming. It is. We can see it in our news today and tomorrow, yesterday. A strong wave's coming, Christian. If you don't have the proper ballast, you will capsize. One last thing. No one can instruct and prepare like God, but to learn of God, you must be willing to get along with God. Separate yourself as much as you can from the noise and distractions of the world. In the quiet place of our lives, this is where God will instruct us. Think of Moses at the backside of the desert. Think of Elijah at the brook of Cherith. Think of Paul in the desert of Arabia after he got saved. Christian, we must have the proper ballast, because a strong wave is coming against us in this country. And if we don't have that proper ballast, we will capsize. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We know that you're preparing us for the storm that's coming. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to have the faith we need to not capsize in that storm. Help us to stand strong beside our pastor, lifting his arms and praying for him, and knowing, dear Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for not just Fellowship Baptist Church here in Clayton, North Carolina, but you have a plan for all Christians that are alive during this generation, during this time in our world. Help us to be strong, to stand fast, to stand upon the Word of God, and not lose our faith in you. Help us not to be capsized in the storm that's coming. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask.